studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run. Job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and individuals who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. I want to start off tonight's show by announcing that this is the second-to-last full-hour-length version of Earth First Radio. Uncle Dennis has been producing Earth First Radio for about 5 years now, and we have been live and recorded on the Internet for the last 3 years. It's time for me to take a break. Earth First Radio will live on, however, in a new format. We will be doing five-minute shows per week. These are intended to be broadcast Monday through Friday, 1 5-minute show per day. So I encourage you to ask your local radio station to make room for the new Earth First Radio coming in the first week of January. Let's get to the news. Is Norway burning? A whaler sinks and a plant is destroyed. On the night of Tuesday, December 11th, one of Norway's whale meat processing plants was destroyed in a fire. 5 days earlier, the whaler Nahela burned and sank to the dock at Lofoten, incurring a loss of $300,000. Norwegian police say they have not yet determined the cause of the two fires. Rune Frovik, spokesman for the whaling lobby group High North Alliance, previously helmed by Jan Olafsson, called the timing of the two fires very suspicious. The Norwegian whaling fleet used the Olafsson Brothers Lofoten plant as a transit hub where the meat from newly slain whales would be delivered, processed, and distributed throughout the country. The plant had recently expanded. Both the old and the new buildings were destroyed in the blaze, which resulted in damages estimated at $3 million. The Olafssons were the owners of the Nabrenia, a whaler scuttled by the Sea Shepherd agents in Lofoten over Christmas in 1992, for which Norway sought in vain to extradite and jail Sea Shepherd founder Paul Watson. The Nabrenia, recently refloated, was damaged on Tuesday when the fire at the Olafsson processing plant spread to the dock where it was moored. Norway kills 549 minke whales this year in defiance of the global moratorium on commercial whaling. On December 10th, an article in the Norwegian Daily Aftenposten quoted Frovik as saying the North Atlantic minke whale population could sustain a hunt of 2,500 whales per year, with an additional 200 fin, sea, and sperm whales thrown in to achieve a potential export value of 1.5 billion kroner in trade with Japan. This last January, Norway announced it would lift the ban on whale product exports, but it has yet to resume international trade in whale meat. At the time of Earth First Radio News deadline, no one had taken responsibility for the destruction of the whaling factory or the ship. Indiana community celebrates the cancellation of a timber sale in the Yellowwood State Forest. Since April 1st of this year, citizens opposed to the state forest logging program have staged a peaceful protest in a tree platform on DuBois Ridge in Yellowwood State Forest. For over 8 months, the community of activists has maintained the protest high in the trees and through rain, sleet, high winds, and have delayed the logging of this portion of publicly owned forest. The community asserts that commercial logging on state forests such as Yellowwood is an inappropriate, and these areas would best serve our communities as intact natural ecosystems. Moreover, it is common for Hoosiers to assume these forests are already protected from extractive commercial activities. On Sunday, December 9th, the activists changed their strategy. They dismantled the tree sit as an act of good faith to demonstrate their commitment to an ongoing dialogue on the issue of protection for this site and of state forest logging system statewide. On Monday, December 10th, the Indiana Division of Forestry posted notices closing the sale and informing the community that logging would begin the next day. Efforts from Brown community to State House continued all day to stop this cut. Eventually, the Department of Natural Resources began action on a plan to cancel the sale and purchase it back from the logging company, Taggart Sawmill. An ad hoc group of demonstrators for the last month in Yellowwood is known affectionately as the Yellowwood Tree Huggers. The wide community is grateful to the members of state government who responded to the action of removal of the sit-in such a professional reciprocal way. This is a major turning point towards dialogue and progress and the community goal of healthy forests and healthy communities in southern Indiana. Other groups in the community have been and continue to be active in the issue of state forest logging and public lands management. They join the rest of the community in this positive result of work of dedicated citizens and state and government employees. These organizations are excellent sources of background information on the issues here and may be contacted as resources. For more information, call the Indiana Forest Alliance. Their phone number 812-332-4878. That's 812-332-4878 for the Indiana Forest Alliance. If you'd like to contact Heartwood, their number is 812-337-8898. That's 812-337-8898 to contact Heartwood. And a West Virginia activist is remembered for her organizing abilities. Laura Foreman of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition died after she collapsed during an anti-mountaintop removal protest in Huntington, West Virginia. A Cabell County activist, she will be remembered for his skills in organizing communities to work for environmental protection and social justice. Laura gave courage to all of us to stand up and fight, said former Secretary of State Ken Helcher. Helcher got to know Foreman over the last few years as the two campaigned to stop mountaintop removal coal mining. Among the state's environmental community, Foreman was a familiar face long before that. In the mid-1990s, she was a key part of the fight against the proposed Mason County pulp and paper mill. Foreman 39 was originally from Schenectady, New York. Foreman got involved in the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition after she met Janet Fout, another coalition organizer, at a local Audubon meeting. She was an avid animal lover. Laura had just rescued a puppy from the middle of Route 10, said Vivian Stockman, the coalition's outreach coordinator. She had also recently picked up a hurt screech owl at the side of the road and given it to Raptor Habilitation. Friends and coworkers said that Foreman's strength was helping residents of small communities learn how to stand up for environmental and social issues. She taught me a lot about people, about organizing people, and how to reach people, said Julia Bonds of the Whitesville-based group Coal River Mountain Watch. Foreman helped plan the protest outside the district office of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition wanted to bring public attention to the Corps' continual issuance of permits for mountaintop removal valley fills that bury streams. This leaves an immense hole in our hearts and in our organization, said Diane Batty, director of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, but we think Laura's work will carry on through the many relationships she has made with people across the region and the state. Laura Foreman died on Tuesday. And this story is from Ken Ward, Jr. of the Charleston Gazette. Here in California is a priority action item. We are asking you to oppose the Board of Forestry appointments. Here in California, the Board of Forestry, appointed by the governor, holds the power when it comes to how our forests are logged, protected, and otherwise managed, so it's unbelievably important for our water quality and forest health that these people be prepared to responsibly enforce forestry regulations to the benefit of our communities, our water, and our wildlife. Unfortunately, the Board of Forestry has historically been stacked in favor of reckless timber policies, and Governor Gray Davis has done nothing to check this harmful bias on the board. In fact, Governor Davis recently appointed three new board members who will only perpetuate the problem. In early January, the California State Rules Committee will vote to confirm or deny the governor's appointments, and the Sierra Club is working to ensure the denial of all three new board appointees. One, Paula Ross, an industry-based union representative, does not belong in her assigned public interest seat. Norm Waters, appointed to the rangeland seat, and Theron Odell, appointed to the timber industry seat, have failed to demonstrate any concern for the good of our forests as acting board members over the past few months. We must let the governor know that his pro-destructive logging candidates are unacceptable and that Californians demand that some representatives of the Board of Forestry be advocates for responsible logging and water quality protection. Here's how you can help. Take action. Write to Senator John Burton, chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, to oppose the confirmation, and come to the Senate Rules Committee on January 9th in Sacramento to show your support for forests and water quality. Here's where you write. The Honorable John Burton, Chairman, Senate Rules Committee, P.O. Box 942848, Sacramento, California, 94248. Once again, that address to write to oppose the new candidates for the California Board of Forestry is the Honorable John Burton, Chair, Senate Rules Committee, P.O. Box 942848, in Sacramento, California, the zip again, 94248. For more information, you can contact Warren. His number is 916-557-1100, extension 111. That's 916-557-1100, extension 111. Or you can send email to Warren at warren.alford, A-L-F-O-R-D, at sierraclub.org. That's warren.alford at sierraclub.org. Here's a wilderness alert. Stop logging in potential wilderness. The Forest Service is putting together a plan to log in the wild and beautiful Monash Meadows, potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The logging project would eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable to future degradation. Your help is needed to stop this wasteful and irresponsible project. The project calls for logging conifer trees on 35 acres around Jackass Meadow, about 20 miles north of Kernville, in a portion of the Fish Creek watershed of California. The meadow contains a grove of both conifers and aspen. In an effort to make this project seem environmentally friendly, the Forest Service is calling the project the Jackass Aspen Wildlife Habitat Improvement Project. In fact, this logging project is simply an attempt to commercially cut trees without having to follow the law. The Forest Service is claiming that this is not a logging project and that therefore they are not required to document the environmental impacts. The project would have detrimental effects on this potential wilderness area. The area around Jackass Creek has already been thinned too much. Thinning is a type of logging in which some of the trees in an area are selected and then cut. This plan would thin more of the area, including the inside a potential wilderness addition to the South Sierra Wilderness, and reduce the tree canopy so much that the risk of catastrophic fire would increase. Also, the Forest Service has not disclosed to the public where in Jackass Meadow the thinning would actually occur, or how close to Jackass Creek, Fish Creek, or the Jackass National Recreational Trail those trees would be cut. Act now. Please send a letter to the Sequoia National Forest asking them to cancel their plans to log in this potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. Here are some highlight points to highlight in your letter. First is that Jackass Creek is within a potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The remaining untouched portion of this watershed is still wild and deserving of the permanent protection wilderness designation could provide. The logging project would eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable to future degradation. This thinning project is nothing more than an attempt to commercially log trees without having to do environmental documentation. Since this is indeed a logging project, a full environmental impact statement should be done. 3. This project should have negative impacts not only on the existing wildlife and habitat, but also on the fire conditions of this high Sierra Meadow area. Thinning even more trees from the Jackass Meadow watershed would reduce the tree cover, allowing the underlying plants to become drier and more likely to burn. Please write your letter and send it to Judy Schutza, that's S-C-H-U-T-Z-A, District Ranger, Canal Meadow Ranger District, attention Kathy Roach, that's R-O-C-H-E, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238. That address again, Judy Schutza, District Ranger, Canal Meadow Ranger District, attention Kathy Roach, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238. And please have that letter in the mail by December 31st. If you have any questions about the South Sierra Wilderness or the Monash Meadows, you can contact Tina at the California Wilderness Coalition. Her number, 530-758-0380. That's Tina at 530-758-0380. Or you can send her email at tina@calwild.org. That's tina@calwild.org. Moving to Northern California, take action to save the Allen Creek Grove. Pacific Lumber Company, an industrial company owned by Maxam Corporation, has submitted a proposal to log 73 acres in Allen Creek Grove, one of the six old-growth groves set aside under protective status for 50 years in the historic Headwaters Deal. These groves comprise the Marbled Murrelet Conservation Area and are supposed to be protected under legally binding terms of that deal. Yet the company is poised to log mature second growth and residual old growth redwoods within the heart of this vitally important habitat. Pacific Lumber is attempting to get around the agreement with the preposterous claim that their logging operation would improve murrelet habitat. However, since these elusive seabirds rely on intact forest stands and are extremely susceptible to noise disturbances and predator species, logging would have disastrous effects on the area, resulting in reductions in canopy density and closure, increasing wind and weather impacts, and increasing opportunities for predatory birds to predate on marbled murrelet eggs. The contract between Pacific Lumber and the state of California under the Headwaters Deal clearly prohibits any kind of logging within the 13 marbled murrelet conservation areas for a period of 50 years. The logging proposed by Pacific Lumber inside the Allen Creek Grove must not go forward. What can you do? Contact the California Department of Forestry and tell them that this logging plan, THP1-01-352-HUM, should be denied because it is not consistent with the state contract and because it would harm the marbled murrelet, which is unauthorized and illegal. Let them know you do not support logging in any of the marbled murrelet conservation areas. Here's the address. Write to Bill Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, California Department of Forestry, 135 Ridgeway Avenue, Santa Rosa, California, 95401. That address again, Bill Snyder, California Department of Forestry, 135 Ridgeway Avenue, Santa Rosa, California, 95401, and be sure to note that you are writing about THP1-01-352-HUM-Allen Creek MMCA. You should also contact the California Department of Fish and Game and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and tell them no logging should take place in any of the marbled murrelet conservation areas. Here's the phone numbers. For the California Department of Fish and Game, please call Bill Condon, his number 707-441-2064. That's Bill at 707-441-2064. Or Amity Brickley of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at 707-822-7201. That's Amity, her number 707-822-7201. If you'd like more information, please contact the Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters. Their email address, bach@igc.org. That's bach@igc.org. And let's move to Russia. Rimbunan Hijau logging in Russia sparks eco-fears. Russian environmentalists expressed their concern that logging activities in the northeastern region of Russia by a Malaysian timber company, Rimbunan Hijau, would cause irreparable ecological damage and adversely affect the lives of the people there. Approximately 31,000 hectares of 310,000 hectares of forest in the sub-district of Lazo, Khabarovsky, would be affected, and 550,000 cubic meters would be logged yearly. It's a lot of wood. The logging concession was sold to Rimbondan Haijiao in 1997 for a period of 49 years. The company has also bought up the concessions for two other areas, Solnetsky and Ultsky, further north. Rimbondan Haijiao is owned by the Sarawakian timber and newspaper tycoon Tiong Hiu King, who has business interests in Hong Kong, Papua New Guinea, Cambodia, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, and other places. The ecology and the environment, as well as the livelihoods of people living in the area, would be severely affected, indigenous rights activist Radion Shuldisk told a newspaper. Solansk lives in Gavashugi, a town about 50 kilometers away from the logging area, which is part of a territory allocated for traditional use of resources by indigenous populations. Our biggest concern is that Rimbondan Haijiao does not have any long-term plans and is only there to maximize profits. It is an international company that just takes what it wants and leaves. This issue also concerns the indigenous people and the landscape, Suldak said. According to him, the logging activities overran a territory marked out for the use of locals to hunt, fish, and gather. Destructions of the forest would mean that locals would be forced to move out farther to survive. The Penan, an indigenous group of the interior of Sarawak in Indonesia, have also protested in August of last year against Rimbondan Haijiao when its subsidiary Lajung Lumber logged their forest settlement in Baram. In another development, Soldik said a road was being planned to connect the northern region of Russia to a port on the Sea of Japan. If the new road is opened up, another area in a neighboring region of Primovsky would also be affected. There would be logging and illegal poaching, he said, adding that another Russian company was also aggressively logging in Primovsky. Irina Belova, a journalist who lives in the Khabarovsky region, said that Rimbondan Haijiao had been fined several times for infractions of forestry laws. It paid the fine, but the regional administration is becoming less and less vigilant or eager to record infractions, Belova said. According to her, Rimbondan Haijiao had paid $100,000 for a reforestation program, $450,000 to the regional administration, and $100,000 to the indigenous population. The project, however, also provides work for people living in Sukpai, which is a Soviet-era town created to harvest the timber there. When the economy took a turn for the worse, the people there lost their jobs, but they gained employment when the company came in. But you must keep in mind that this is only for the short term, she said. Sudak and Belova are part of a group of Russian environmentalists who came from Kuala Lumpur for a three-day conference called the Ring of Fire that discussed industrial timber trade activities and forest conservation efforts. Members of the coalition of environmentalists and indigenous activists who attended the conference are from Malaysia, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, Burma, Chile, New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Thailand, Russia, Indonesia, the United States, and Japan. And this story came from the Malaya Sakini newspaper and was written by Leong Kar Yen. And here's an overview and commentary by Forest.org. Rimbondan Haijiao is one of the most ecologically and socially destructive logging companies on the face of the earth. They have hammered the forests of Sarawak, Malaysia, and are in mid-plunder in Papua New Guinea and have gained a stronghold in the Amazon and elsewhere. I have seen grown foresters cry at the senseless waste and destruction of their particular brand of forestry. They are aggressively trying to access the world's last great forest wildlands. My advice to Russia and Brazil: throw these bums out before they ravage your country. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here and listen to David Rovics playing to us live at the Club Passim. This here song is a story about the Biotic Baking Brigade.
See the man in his limousine, in his tie and well-pressed shirt, hoping that he's not been seen on the lookout for dessert. He knows that he is guilty, and a visit might be paid by the vegan vigilantes of the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. There's the chorus. If you sell your city's soul to the landlord's greedy pack, you, my friend, have earned yourself a tasty pastry snack. You can call yourself a liberal and hope your crimes will fade, but your sellout soul will be exposed by the biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. If you cut down the last of the forests, spew poison in the air, don't you be surprised to find that cheesecake in your hair. Yes, if you are a corporate criminal, you've surely made the grade to receive a fresh baked goodie from the Biotic Baking Brigade. Here we go. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. Scoundrels of industry, we know of your disgrace. So smile for the camera with the cream pie in your face. You can hope that we won't find you out as you're hiding in the shade. Someday soon you'll meet your doom, the Biotic Baking Brigade. Here we go. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
One more time.
What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.